Amen. My greatest desire when we come to church is that folks get help. And all through the service, I don't know every need, but I do know some. And I can see folks on their face that they need help from God. And I want to encourage you. We are a Pentecostal church. And if we need to stop or change direction so you can get help, amen, that's what we're here for. Amen. God may help you in the singing. He may help you in the preaching. He may help you in the worship or in the altar time. But we don't want to leave here like we came. Amen. We want to leave here with the help of the Lord. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? And we're going to talk about overcoming again tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll just be reading it during the message, the teaching tonight. Praise God. I think I've got a problem here, guys. There we go. Okay. We're talking about overcoming. Overcoming. Tonight we're going to talk about overcoming anger. Overcoming anger. Our scripture says, be ye angry. See, you're in trouble if you don't read the whole Bible, aren't you? Well, if you just stop right there. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You know, we don't tie scripture into its context like we ought to sometimes, but in context, it simply means when we allow ourselves to get angry, we give place to the devil. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's stop and pray, and before we proceed tonight, Heavenly Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us. God, I pray you touch our hearts tonight, and I pray that there be victory experienced, oh God, in these altars tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you were the one that asked me this, you'll have to forgive me because I can't remember who it was. And I'm sure I'm not reporting this in the sense that you asked it. And we didn't change our resolution here. Is that what's going on? Okay. But someone asked me recently, they quoted this scripture and they says, now, how far can you go with that scripture? And I'm sure they didn't mean it this way, but my first thought was, are you asking how far you can go with your anger? How much anger can you get away with? You know, to ask how far can you go with this scripture? And what does it mean to be angry and sin not? Well, first of all, this is not a scripture that gives a person a license to blow up, to go off, to vent, to explode. I mean, someone just vents. I mean, they just blow up at someone. So, well, the Bible says, just be angry and sin not. I didn't really sin. I just blew up. You ever known someone just to blow up at you? You know, we Americans, somewhere back, I don't know exactly when it happened, we started changing the word. I remember way back when I took formal composition, they said, now make sure you don't use the word mad. Use the word angry, because mad means foaming at the mouth. And we Americans, we use the word mad. We say, I'm mad. Well, that really means, you know, like a rabid dog. You just, I mean, you're foaming at the mouth. You're out of control. Or it means you're insane. And you know, I remember correcting that in my teacher, or my students' papers, you know, don't use mad, use angry, and writing that mad means insane and foaming at the mouth, and I don't know if they got it or not, but you know, we Americans may not be that far wrong by using the word mad in the place of anger, because how many knows when you get angry, you do some pretty insane things? How many seen someone really angry and they practically were foaming at the mouth? And so, I mean, it's a horrible thing. Now, keeping that in mind, did you know that just the recent research has shown that in America, 68% of Americans are very dissatisfied or angry with what's going on? I want to tell you something. There's a lot of anger out there. Don't you wish we could just leave it out there? I think there's a lot of anger in God's people. There's a lot of anger. More people are angry than you think. A lot of people are suffering. They're angry. There's lots of powder kegs that are just ready to be set off. You know, there's some folks that they don't feel angry right at this moment, but they're like a fire. You ever seen a fire smolder down and it's underneath the ashes and you think it's all gone out? There's been times the firemen went home because they thought they had the fire put out. But the wind got to blowing and began to refan the flames. And it became a destructive force again. And some folks have smoldering anger that any time could flare into a rage again. That's the world we live in. Now, we want help, but we got to realize something. We're going to be off the slide several times tonight. But Jesus makes it clear that anger is a punishable sin. Now, we live in a time that folks, if they have problems, are told, well, that's just the way it is, and you can't expect anything different, but Jesus expects more of us. Amen? And he makes it clear that anger is a punishable sin. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, I don't have time to preach on this passage, but people like to pick out without cause and say, well, I got a reason to be angry. So I'm scriptural. I got a reason. That doesn't mean what you deem as a reason. It means what God deems as a cause and a reason. Amen. And so Jesus said you can face the judgment if you're angry with your brother. I mean, these are important things. You know, I've thought a lot about this through the years, and I've looked in a lot of dictionaries. But I think the best definition of anger, and I know it's a little more than this, but this takes in most of anger. Most of anger is the frustration of things not going my way. I'm just going to be honest about me. And I'm not talking about in a spoiled sense, like, things aren't going my way. I'm just talking about we get angry because things aren't working out. Things aren't happening in our life like we would like for them to happen. Anger is the frustration of things not going my way. You ever felt like that? How many's ever got frustrated with your computer? I saw one guy, he just took his keyboard, started hitting his monitor, and just cleared his desk of the whole thing and kicked it. Things not going our way. It's the frustration of not getting my own way. How many knows we're born with that and it never leaves? We want our way. We want to eat at the restaurant we like. We want our brand of ice cream. We want our song sung in the church, right? It's the frustration of not getting our own way. But it's also a little more than that. I believe sometimes anger is the desire to stop the hurt. Something is hurting us, and we get angry. We want to stop the hurt or even to retaliate and to get back. I believe that today more people are angry and are losing control of their anger than ever before. And I'm talking about in recent history. I can't speak for all of history, but I'm telling you, there's a lots of angry people out there. The conditions that we live in, and not only do the conditions, but anymore people don't have the morality that they used to have to hold their anger in check, and people are simply losing control. I think there's more abuse because of anger, more murders, more destruction. And you see, here's the thing we're going to look at tonight, this thing about anger. Not only is the person that's angry, does he get hurt by himself, but he hurts others. Anger does that. I mean, there's a lot of rage out there. How many's ever heard of road rage? How many's ever experienced road rage? How many has ever had road rage? you glad the camera wasn't on you? There's not just road rage, there's parking space rage. How many has ever felt it just start coming up and when someone stole your parking place? Man, we're about to have revival around here. And I'll tell you a rage I experienced this week. It's waiting on the phone for help rage. How many knows what I'm talking about? Where they try to lose you in the loop, and then they finally get you on it, and you can tell they're doing things just to stall you and just to... No one's experienced that. A lot of rage out there. You see, you thought this would be applicable. Cell phone rage. Checkout line rage. Anyone ever had checkout line rage? We got a few honest folks in here. The rest will join us in the altar. But anyway, a lot of rage out there. I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus get angry? Did Jesus get angry? A lot of people like to point that out. Yes, he got angry. And the scene we think about is when Jesus cleansed the temple. But let me read the scriptures. I thought I had them here, but I don't. The scripture is, I don't have it in my notes either, but the scripture says Jesus, when he got to Jerusalem, he made a whip. And he began to clear out those that sold oxen and sheep and doves. And he overturned the money tables. And he said, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. So Jesus did get angry. And so some folks blow their top and you say something to them about it. And they say, I'm just being like Jesus. Jesus got angry and he cleansed the temple. I'm just being like Jesus. Don't rebuke me for being like Jesus. But I want us to look just briefly at that, since a lot of folks use that occasion when he cleansed the temple. Let's look at some things about it. First of all, his anger wasn't the result of injustice done to himself, but to others. See, his anger wasn't about himself. It was what was being done to others. And in brief, let me tell you what that was. People had to come from all over the known world at the time. If they were Jews, they had to come to Jerusalem and they had to sacrifice a pure sacrifice. But there was a racket going on with the priest and the merchants there in the temple. Here's this poor guy. He spent his money, or he brought it with him. He brought his lamb to the temple to sacrifice it. It has to be inspected before it's sacrificed. And it failed every time. The inspector's in on the racket. He says, that fails. You can't sacrifice that animal. But I tell you what, number one, there's a merchant over there. He'll take it off your hands. And they paid a real cheap price for it. And then he'll say, there's another merchant over there that will sell you a lamb that has already been temple certified. It's already been sacrifice certified. And it was a racket making these folks sell the animal they brought at a real cheap price, and then to buy another one that was acceptable at a very high price. That is what angered Christ, that people who wanted to worship in sincerity were taken advantage of like that. And not only that, the place where all those tables were set up was the court of the Gentiles. If you were a Gentile and you wanted to worship the true God, you couldn't go into the temple proper. You had to stay in that court. But all the merchants had set up with their livestock and their tables had so crowded into the court of the Gentiles, there was no place for the Gentiles to come and worship. And so Jesus wasn't angry because something was done to him. He was angry because people were taken advantage of. And then, his anger wasn't about himself. And he didn't just blow up and off the handle. How do you know this? You know, people like to see Christ just going off, you know, just seeing this and just grabbing something and wading in there. And just, you know, he just blew up like dynamite. But that's not true. I quote a little bit of you. The Bible said that Jesus plaited a whip. See, there was a time. That's important to what we're going to get into. There was a time. He didn't just blow. It wasn't just a impulse blowing up. But he took the time to plait, to braid the whip. It was a calculated thing. It wasn't just blowing his top. And then he didn't physically hurt people. I know some pictures have showed this. But if you read the text carefully, I don't believe that whip ever touched a human. I think it was used to drive the animals out. And Jesus was angry because of the injustices of others and how people were kept from God. How many knows we have triggers to our anger? Do you know what your trigger is? Is it someone you're going 65 miles an hour and someone pulls out right in front of you, you slam on the brakes and they go a quarter of a block and turn? Is that a trigger? Do you know you're triggered? Well, let me go back and just be a little honest. I'll just tell you one of mine, and don't you do it because I tell it to you. That's the problem. One of the things that just like that without me thinking, just right there, it's just right there, is if someone comes up and smudges my glasses. How many that wears glasses knows what I'm talking about? Oh, I mean, just something's right there. It's just a trigger. I mean, there it is, the smudging of the glasses. And I'll tell you, well, I won't tell you that. I'll have a problem with that if everybody will be doing that to me. Pet peeves cause us to anger. I'll tell you, one of my pet peeves is someone walk in a room, they turn a light on, and when they leave, they don't turn it off. Or they get it out, they don't put it up. Or littering. Woo! Praise God. Well, we're preaching on everything tonight. What is it that causes your anger? Then there's some things much more serious. I mean, there's been abuse, there's been betrayal, there's been heartache, there's been folks that have done you wrong. We don't minimize any of those things. But you see, it isn't, anger is not so much the problem. I want to tell you tonight, anger is not really the problem. How many knows anger is a human emotion? I mean, you can even be really young and have anger. Anger isn't the problem. It's what we do with that anger. It's what we do with that anger. And I believe we as Christians want to do right. We want to do right with our anger. How do we handle our anger? How can we be angry and sin not? And you may ask tonight, how can I overcome my anger? Let me give you some practical things before we come and pray. First of all, don't accept it. Don't say, I have to get angry. Don't say, that's just the way I am. That's just the way it is. I'm angry, and I've got to be angry, and there's no way to overcome it. Don't accept it. You know, some folks say, well, I've got Irish in me. I got that fighting Irish in me. It's just, I just have to accept it. It's just the way it's going to be. I can't help it. Everybody does it. I have to vent. I have to let it out. There's no way around it. You know, so that's what folks say. You know, I just can't control it when I get angry. I don't know if you remember, and it's his story. I may not tell, I'm going to tell as close as I remember it, but you know Brother James Snow, our evangelist. You know, he's a little taller than I am and a whole lot bigger. And he was talking about how he was at Walmart or something. He pulled in this parking place. He didn't realize somebody else was waiting for his parking place. He just pulled in. He was sitting in the truck, and this guy jumps out of the car. Shorter guy, he jumps out of the car. He's screaming at Brother Snow and making motions and coming up alongside that long truck. I mean, he's going to let him have it. Brother Snow said, I didn't really know what was going on. Here comes this guy just raging. He said, I just got out of the truck, and when I stood up, that guy looked up at me, sort of backing up, saying, I'm sorry. He could control it, couldn't he? He could control it. I mean, going off on your spouse, I just can't control it, just screaming, and the phone rings. Hi, how you doing? So glad you called. We can control it. Don't accept anger. And then don't assist anger. You got anger, you don't have to help it out. Did you know you can feed and nurse your anger? People enjoy feeding and nursing their anger. I think there's a little thrill and twisted enjoyment out of anger. Maybe it's the adrenaline rush. Maybe it's the self-pity. I don't know what it is, but folks seem to get a little thrill out of nursing their anger. But how do you not assist it? First of all, you don't review it. You don't review what made you angry. You don't just keep going over and over. How many has ever said to someone, the more I think about it, the madder I get? Isn't that right? That's the way it works. The more you think about it, the thing that caused your anger, the more angry you become. And we go over and over. It builds. We think about what's been said over and over, what has happened over and over, what's been done to us over and over, and we're just assisting our anger. Amen. We imagine what we're going to say to that person. We imagine what we're going to do. We imagine how we're going to retaliate, and here we go. Akin to that, reviewing it is to retell it. If there's something that makes us angry, not all of us hold that to ourselves. We got to tell somebody, and we got to tell somebody, and we got to tell somebody. We've told this one, and we've tell. But you know what we also say? The more I talk about it, the madder I get. Don't assist anger. Don't keep retelling and retelling and retelling. You know, the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now, it's warning a person not to be around the angry man, but in this it tells you what an angry man does. His anger spreads. His anger affects other people. If you keep going over and over, not only do you become more angry, but you cause other people to get angry. People, it's not even their grievance, it's not even their cause, but because you tell it over and over again, you've got other people stirred up and angry about it. It's spreading now. Don't assist anger. And then don't argue for it or justify. Don't argue that it's okay. We all feel like we're justified to get angry. And if we argue our anger itself is justifiable, then we'll begin to argue that whatever we do because of our anger is justified. If you can justify your anger, then you can justify whatever you do in that anger. You know, I don't know how you feel, but anger does not make someone look attractive. Have you ever? I know sometimes big brave husbands say that to their wives. You're so cute when you're mad. But anger doesn't really look attractive. All right, you don't take my word for it. And our scripture today says, tonight, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Married couples get this a lot. You know, the Bible says, don't be angry. Be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. One teacher, a lady teacher, she said, I want to interpret that for you. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down your wrath. She said, that means don't go to bed mad. Stay up and fight. One guy said, I never go to bed mad at my wife. Some nights I don't go to bed, but I don't go to bed mad at my wife. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, quit justifying it. Quit arguing that it's okay and take care of it. Get it right with the person. And then don't act out of anger. Don't assist it. Don't accept it. Don't argue for it. Don't act out of it. You know, here's today's pop advice. You'll hear it from the authorities. Don't hold it in. Just let it out. Just express it. When I was in high school, one of the guys had a pickup truck. That's nothing in Oklahoma. About 90% of them did, but had a pickup truck, and on the way to school, it broke down. It quit running. He sat there and cranked it and cranked it and cranked it. It wouldn't start. And also back then, you couldn't do it now, I'm sure, but if you had a pickup truck, you had a gun rack right behind your head. You had your hunting guns there. Brother Zach knows what I'm talking about. And this guy crank. It wouldn't start. Finally, he got so angry, he pulled that shotgun back. He lifted his hood and bam, 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 right into his engine. I mean, just let it out. Don't hold it in. I want to ask you a question. Do you really feel better when you lose your temper? maybe for a brief second, but I'm talking about 5 minutes later, 5 hours later. Does it really make you feel better to lose your temper, to become angry, to release it? I want you to think of the things that you've done out of anger. And while you're thinking, I want to make a confession. The biggest mistakes I've made in my personal life and in ministry is when I didn't keep my anger in check. How many could be, if you was honest, you'd look back at your life and say, the biggest mistakes I've made is when I have let my anger get out of control. And I want you to think about that. How many things did you do when you were angry that you're proud of today? You say, I'm proud of doing that. How many things have you done in anger that you now regret? How many things have you and I done in anger that really helped the situation? How many's ever wrote and sent an email in anger? How many wish you could take that back from cyberspace? How many's ever made a phone call when you were angry? What about it? Don't act out of anger. You know, nothing really makes us lose our temper. You know, people say that. She just makes me lose my temper. Well, first of all, think about that statement. You had to have a temper prior to losing it. If she made you lose it, you already had it. She just caused you to lose it. But you know, I don't think people really make us lose our temper. They just are the occasion that brings out what is already there. Right? It's already there. It's already there. That's why a person can say something that's harmless and we blow up at him. It wasn't he. It was what was going on in our hearts. And that was just the occasion. Now I want to turn this from the don'ts before I end here and put it in a, well, one more there. And put it in a positive command. First of all, if you have trouble with anger, first of all, just stop. You say, I can't do that. The Bible gives a command. It says, be angry, sin not. That's a command. It's a command. Just stop. Just stop. Julius Caesar, and you all know him from history, he had a rule that when he became angry, he would say the Roman alphabet all the way through before he had opened his mouth. I don't know how many letters there are in the Latin alphabet. I think 22 or 4 or something like that. But he would say it all before he opened up his mouth. Just stop. You've heard it said over and over. If you're angry, count to 10 before you say or do anything. How many believe that's good advice? Someone says that we need to be scientific about this. You should count down before blasting off. So count to 10. Just stop. Don't act. Don't speak. If you have to, get away from it. Give it a rest. Folks, if you hold your anger in, it's destructive. Yes, it may be. We'll talk about that. To hold your anger in may be destructive to you, but it's even more destructive to let it out. Just stop. And then stop. Don't just stop, but stop and think. How am I going to look? How am I going to sound? Haven't I done the same things to others that I'm angry about? Right? Think about this. I'm really angry at this person, but haven't I myself done the same things to others? Will this hurt my testimony? You know, there was a day when folks were really concerned about their Christian testimony. They weren't just trying to be sanctimonious. They really cared about their testimony because they wanted to reach people for Jesus. There's places they wouldn't go, things they wouldn't say, things they wouldn't do because they didn't want to hurt their testimony. And I believe when we feel anger, we ought to think, will this hurt my testimony? What about that lost loved one I'm trying to reach? What about the consequences? Amen. We got to stop and think about it. Did you know that anger is only one letter short of danger? And you get in dangerous situations when you don't stop and think about your anger. And then stop and think and pray. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we can pray? I think you can pray your anger to death. I'm not talking about what we do sometimes. We think we're praying, we're just talking to ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? I'm not talking about when you're really praying, but what we call prayer, we end up talking to ourselves. God will help us with that. Pray the Psalms. We'll talk about that in a brief second. But we can pray, and that's what prayer does. Instead of blasting off at someone, we call out to God. If you need to get it out, and I would agree at this point, you do need to get it out. But not get it out and take it out on someone, but get it out to God in prayer. Aren't you glad we can pray about things? Amen. Just pour out your heart. Oh, I love to read those scriptures and to preach about them. And from the Old Testament and New, it talks about folks pouring out their heart before God. Full of anger, but you pray and you pour it out. You can pray your anger out. Amen. You can pray till you feel God at work in your heart. Not only stop and think and pray, but stop and think and pray and let the Holy Spirit take control. You know, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But it's not just wine that can take control of us. It's other things like anger. But there is an option as believers. We don't have to be controlled by anger. We can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And what's He like? He's a gentle dove. I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit will do. We may have a fight with anger, but the Holy Spirit will produce a fruit in our life that's anything but anger. Look what the Holy Spirit will do. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. None of those things are about anger. Wouldn't you a lot rather have those things going on in your heart and your life, your mind? I'm telling you, if you're struggling with anger, and we're not minimizing this, some other things that Paul mentioned tonight, bitterness, and you got all those things in you, and they're tormenting, and they're destroying you, and they're destroying those around you. But it doesn't have to be that way. Stop and think and pray and give your heart to Jesus and let the Holy Ghost have control. And when He's in control, there won't be anger, there'll be joy. There won't be wrath, there'll be peace. There won't be impatience, there'll be long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and all of it. Oh, I just want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Some folks are full of a rage. Not just of anger, but the rage of the storm and the hurt and the pain and the abuse. But I'm telling you, you can pour that out before God. And what He pours in is a whole lot better. Praise the name of the Lord. Anger in the end, though it hurts others tremendously, it'll hurt the one that gets angry. I read a story one time. I don't know how true it was, but I read it several places. But a man had a morning to sleep in. He is enjoying his sleeping in, and all of a sudden it sounded like a jackhammer on his roof. And he put his robe on, and he ran out in the backyard and looked up trying to see what it was. And there was a woodpecker on his TV antenna just drilling that thing. Oh, the anger rose up, and he reached down and grabbed a rock, and he threw it at that woodpecker. And the rock missed and went over the peak of the house, and he heard a crash on the other side of the house. He ran around, and that rock, it went over the house and went through the windshield of his car. Anger. He reached in there, got that rock off of the seat and threw it down. I mean, he was just a fussing. He looked at that rock and he reared back and he kicked it, but he forgot he ran outside barefoot. He kicked the rock and broke his toe. I'm telling you, anger is destructive to you. God doesn't like it when folks suffer. He doesn't like it when they hurt. Amen. When you let your anger out, yes, you hurt others, but you're also hurting yourself. I want to tell you tonight, God wants to help you with anger as much as He wants to help you and I with any other problem. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about this thing? There's help in the Lord. The modern psychologist says that's just the way you are. Learn to live with it. But God says, I got something better. I can change. I can make a difference. Would you come, music? I wonder if we could just practice this tonight. You know, we're almost in trouble. I believe it's almost dark out there. But the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If the sun's not down, it's almost down. I don't know. I don't have any idea. Maybe you're angry at someone here tonight, maybe it's a member of your family, maybe it's a brother or sister, I want to encourage you to take the word of God for what it says. Don't sin in that anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Put away the wrath and the malice. Amen. Make it right tonight. Amen. Make it right tonight. You see, what about the thing that's made me angry? The hurt, the betrayal, the disappointment. I'm telling you, God is here to help tonight. You know, I sit back there, and I would, again, I'm not talking about just in the spoiled sense of a little kid. I'm talking about legitimately that anger is the frustration of not getting my own way. And your dreams have been disappointed. Your plans have been disappointed. You know, you can call it by other names. You can call it disappointment. You can call it bitterness. You can call it hurt. But it's just a seething rage of anger in your heart. I'm telling you, there's help with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'd pour your heart out, pour your troubles out to Him, call on His name. If it's someone you can make it right with, make it right with. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Paul says, put off that wrath. Get rid of it. But I'm telling you, if you'd pour it out, how do you get rid of it? You pour it out to God. I really believe a person can pour out. I mean, you may have years of bitterness and hurt and abuse just built up in your heart, seething and smoldering and hurting. I believe you can pour it out before God. And oh, when you're so empty and broken, He begins to pour in His great goodness. Oh, hallelujah. My cup runneth over. I was about to explode with anger, but now my cup runneth over with the goodness and the blessings and the mercies and the love of God. Hallelujah. Don't ever think this book doesn't get practical. Put off anger. He wasn't speaking in a vacuum. Would you stand? He was speaking to believers like you and I. And He said, put it off. Get rid of it. God's got something better for you than this. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, how do you give an altar call like this? I do believe, I know a message like this is for all of us because we're all human. We all need help and encouragement. But I do believe there's some tonight. Oh, you're so disappointed. You're nothing's worked out. You're so frustrated, so full of this seething mess. I want to encourage you to come. Pour your heart out to God. Just call on Him. Just pour it out to Him. I'm opening these altars right now. You like to come and pray. You say, oh God, before the sun finishes going down, I want to pour that out. And I want to be filled with Your love and grace. Amen. Would you begin to fill these altars and say, oh God, I want what You have. I don't want my life to be controlled by anything else. I want my heart and life to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There's help from the Lord. There's help from the Lord.